Seth Rohrbach covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's my colleague over there, and he joins me right now on 105.9 The X in advance of Penguins and Ducks tonight in Anaheim. Seth, thanks for taking some time to join us. Folks can listen to the game here on The X at 10 o'clock. I think the Pens need to get at least four out of this road trip, Seth. Maybe sneak a fifth by getting an overtime point or something against the Kings. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, the two bad teams obviously are Anaheim and San Jose, both not in playoff contention. LA is a pretty good team, so, you know, let's not sell them short. But no, I mean, trying to get 4 points at least out of the Anaheim and San Jose games, but that seems to be a must, just given where the Penguins are right now in the standings and just the, I guess, inferiority of the Ducks and the Sharks. I mean, that's just two teams you have to clean up on.
What about their state of affairs on their third line right now, the third and fourth lines? We're talking a lot today, the last 2 days, about the Tarasenko trade, what teams are going to be looking to move, what teams can get at the deadline. Where do you think they are in that regard?
Well, I think they're going to give the current, you know, third line as it's constructed, as it's Brock McGinn, Jeff Carter, and Kasperi Kapanen, and they're going to give those three guys every chance they can to, you know, succeed or fail. And, you know, all through all of one game, I guess you could say they've failed. I mean, they were pretty inert, I would say, against Colorado. But they're going to give those guys every chance to kind of work things out and see where they are as March 3rd approaches. But it's clearly a need. It's clearly something, you know, Ron Hextall's even, you know, acknowledged that he's trying to address. I mean, I don't know if he necessarily said the third line specifically, but, you know, the bottom six in general. But I think they have enough players to, you know, cobble together a competent fourth line. It's just that third line. It's just such a hole right now. Just such a void. I mean, just doesn't offer a thing right now. I mean, Jeff Carter wins some faceoffs here and there. That's nice, but you need more out of him. You need more out of Kasperi Kapanen. And, you know, Brock McGinn's off to a good start with a bunch of goals early, and he's kind of quieted down here as well. So you need something more collectively out of that third line. It's not even just offense. I mean, you know, get a good shift in the offensive zone, wear them out a little bit, you know, get some good plays off the walls, whatever. I mean, it's just been a, you know, for the most part, a zero from that line here for, you know, just about the whole season, I would say.
Is it going to be Jari tonight?
No, they acknowledged that they announced Casey Smith was a starter here, and Mike Sullivan even said, you know, it might be a possibility of Casey Smith going tomorrow against Los Angeles. So, Jari, I mean, it looks like he's pretty close to returning. I think they still need to get him fully involved in regular practice, which I believe they'll have on Monday here. So, it looks like they're not rushing him back. I mean, and hey, you want him healthy if you're going to, you know, have any kind of success here. So I see the sense in that, but, you know, I think we saw some signs of Casey Smith kind of wearing out a little bit in January where, you know, he had some subpar performances there. So, the sooner the better for Tristan Jari, but, they don't seem terribly interested in rushing him back, before he's fully healthy.
Seth, let's talk a little bit more about, they're standing in the Metro regarding, you know, where they sit after last night's results. The Islanders are now even with them points-wise, but they're five games difference overall in the games played. And then you got the Devils who won. Like, as far as where they sit versus the rest of the Metro competition, how do you think they're faring kind of going into this stretch run through the rest of February and into March before the deadline?
Well, I guess the one thing that really helps them is that they have a couple of games in hand on some of the teams that they're competing with. And to be certain, you know, when we're talking about teams they're competing with, they're not competing with, say, the Carolina Hurricanes right now, or the New Jersey Devils at the moment, or even the New York Rangers maybe. Those teams are all well ahead there. They're more competing with, say, the Washington Capitals for those last two wild card spots. The Islanders and, you know, are on their kind of on their tail in hot pursuit, as are the Buffalo Sabres, if you want to even, you know, go in under the Atlantic division there. So I think the thing that helps them out the most is that they've played the fewest games, just about anyone here in the entire division here. They've only played 50 games, and you don't look at Washington, they've played 53 games. You know, the Islanders, they played 55 games. So they have a little bit more control. One of the common things that kind of came out of the break as Mike Sullivan, you know, a message he pushed on the players is that they control their destiny. So I don't want to say they can afford a mistake here and there, but I think they can correct a mistake if they have a bad game here and there and get those points back, whereas the other teams have, you know, less wiggle room for that. So, they're hanging on here. I don't know necessarily the Islanders or the Sabres, again, that go over the Atlantic Division have done a lot to really, you know, make the Penguins pay for any mistakes they've had here, but You know, the Penguins have a good position, I guess, if you want to label it that, just on the basis that they haven't played nearly as many games or as many games as some of these teams that they're kind of bumping heads here with for these final wild card spots.
We saw Patrick Kane's reaction to not being the guy that goes to the Rangers. Where do you think he might wind up?
Well, I don't know. That was very frank of him to kind of acknowledge that. And you know, you rarely see something like that from an NHL player there. So, as far as where he ends up, I mean, I believe he has contract control. So, you know, maybe the options are limited there. I don't know if he'd want to go back to Buffalo. I mean, that is his hometown there. But, you know, that's again, as we said there, that's not a team that's necessarily ensconced in a playoff position here. And frankly, I mean, the Sabres are, you know, kind of in a position where they're still rebuilding. I mean, yeah, it's nice that they're sort of in range for a playoff position, but they're still rebuilding that. And Kevin Adams, the GM there in Buffalo the other day, said, you know, he didn't want to, you know, fast start anything or quick start anything here and, you know, maybe derail their rebuilding plan here at all. I mean, they still kind of have a plan to be a contender for many years down the road, not just, you know, try to get into the playoffs this year. So I don't know if, you know, picking up a guy on this, you know, 30-some-year-old in the last year of his contract would be in line with that pursuit there. But as far as other teams that might be in demand there, I mean, the Rangers has just made sense on a lot of levels, just based on, you know, they always seem to want to bring in, you know, that big name star, and they did in Vladimir Tarasenko. Even if that player is, you know, would have passed his prime as Vladimir Tarasenko and Patrick Kane are. So, as far as where he might go, I mean, New Jersey sort of makes a sense there, but again, they're a team that's, yeah, they're in playoff position right now, but I mean, they're also still in a rebuilding plan. So I don't know if, you know, bringing Patrick Kane would run afoul of that as well. So it comes down to the matter of who has cap space, and there's not a lot of cap space out there right now. Yeah, you kind of have to get creative with carving out enough cap space here and not hurting your team in the immediate sense right now. And I just don't know how many teams out there really can you know bring in the type of salary that Patrick Kane has right now. And I'm looking at cap friendly here and trying to stall for time here. He's at $10.5 million, so obviously the Blackhawks would have to eat some of that, and you'd have to carve out at least $5 or $6 million on your lineup to make room for him. So it would be a tough sell there, but not impossible.
Last thing, Seth, as it relates to the Penguins and their mentality along those lines, the trade deadline, like Hextall has said, he doesn't want to move out a first round pick as a way to clear salary. Is there another way for them to do that? I mean, can they clear out any sort of substantive salary with a second or a third round pick? Like, what do you think the going rate is to move the kind of salary that the Pens need if they're not going to give up the first rounder, which he kind of made it sound like he didn't want to do?
Well, I mean, if they were looking for a top six winger, yeah, that probably would be the price. I mean, if they were trying to get Vladimir Tarasenko or, you know, Bo Horvat, that would be the price, but they're not. I mean, they're looking for a third liner, and maybe a fourth liner. You probably aren't going to have to give up a first-round pick to get that player or clear out sufficient cap space. I just don't know, you know, what other team in the league would fairly ask for a first-rounder if you wanted to bring in, you know, the equivalent of, say, a Brock McGinn. I don't think it's impossible for them to kind of make that move. You know, if they can, you know, part ways with a second or third-round pick, fourth-round pick, and that's kind of what they had to do with the previous two big trades under Ron Hextall, Jeff Carter, and Ricard Raquel, but I just don't see a first-round pick being the only thing that prevents them from making a move that's necessary to improve this team. I mean, again, they're just looking for a third liner. It's not going to be tough to get that player. The difficulty is just clearing up the salary cap space, and I don't see it being a huge obstacle for them in terms of, you know, needing to, you know, incorporate a first-rounder into any type of transaction like that. So. No, I mean, if they were going after some big game fish like that, yeah, that would make sense, but that's not what they're in the market for right now.
Seth, appreciate it. Thanks as always for taking time to join us. We'll read your coverage in the Trib. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Would you care to give us a Super Bowl pick from a hockey perspective?
I guess I'd say Philadelphia 31-18, just because people in Philadelphia are more violent. I don't know.
Seth, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Anytime, Tim. Be well.